Hi, this is Roger Marsh for Family Talk with some exciting news. We've selected 18 of the most popular broadcasts of the past year and present them to you together on 6 audio CDs in the 2016 Family Talk Best of Broadcast Collection. Join Dr. Dobson and many incredible guests like Anne Graham Lotz, Dr. Robert Jeffers, and Eric Metaxas in this compelling audio collection. You can get your CD set as our thank you for a suggested donation of $50 or more to support Family Talk. Your gift today will be doubled by a generous matching grant. Join Dr. Dobson and Serving Families by calling 877-732-6825 or visit drjamesdobson.org.
I'm Janann Jenkins at Family Talk, and I want to thank all of you for your prayers and support for this ministry the past year. And I wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a healthy and happy New Year.
Hi, this is Molly Kinney with Family Talk, wishing everyone a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Today on Family Talk.
Is it intolerant to say that Jesus is the only way to God? In just a moment, today's guest on Family Talk will answer that question in one of our highest-rated programs of 2016. Welcome to another of the best broadcasts from Family Talk. I'm Roger Marsh, and here is your host, psychologist and author Dr. James Dobson, to introduce today's guest and jump into this challenging topic.
I think we ought to jump right into introducing our guests. I'm talking about Dr. Robert Jeffers. He's pastor of the 12,000-member First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. His television program, Pathway to Victory, is seen on over 1,200 television stations around the world. And Shirley and I very often watch him on Sunday morning. His daily radio program, Pathway to Victory, was launched in 2011 and is now on 725 radio stations around the country. So this man has a broad, broad reach, and his messages are always right on target with Scripture. He's also seen regularly on Fox News. I'm sure many of our listeners have seen him there. He's been on CNN and MSNBC. I'm not sure how you can span that gap between those three stations. But he has been interviewed on more than 800 radio and television stations. And of course, he's been a guest on our program many times and will continue to be as long as I'm here. Dr. Robert Jeffress, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Dobson. Always an honor to be with you.
Well, you have written a new book. My goodness, how many books have you written this year?
Not nearly as many as you have, Dr. Dobson. I'm way behind you. But this is my 23rd book, and it's really, without doubt, the most important book I've ever written, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven, because it deals with the most important topic of all, and that is, how can a person have a right relationship with God?
Well, I'm holding it in my hand, and I agree the topic could not be more important. Not All Roads Lead to Heaven by Dr. Robert Jeffers, sharing an exclusive Jesus in an inclusive world. I want to start by sharing a personal experience with you. In 1983, I was on the Larry King Show. At that time, it was just radio. And I think he began with a question that he asked me every time I was on his program, and that was probably 20 or more times through the years. And that question was, do you really have to do business with Jesus Christ to go to heaven? He asked the question that your book is answering. And I think he continued to ask not only me that, but he asked Billy Graham and Anne Graham Lotz and Rick Warren. I've heard him ask nearly every evangelical that he had on his program. And of course, he's no longer on, at least not the Larry King Show. But he had an obsession about that. And I have a guess that it was because he was worried about that. You know, he's up in years, and he's had a heart attack, and And so he wants to know whether or not all this stuff about Jesus is really for real.
Yeah.
And I said over and over, and over, it got almost funny. I started teasing him about it. Every time I'd go there, he'd ask me that. And I said, you know, the answer is still the same. I don't have any right to edit the scripture.
That's right.
And if it says there's only one way, then there is only one way. And what can I do with that? You want me to come up with something different?
Well, you know, Dr. Dobson, unfortunately, you're one of the few who have given a clear answer in the media when asked about that. I've seen far too many well-known ministers of the gospel just start to waffle and waver and say things like, well, who am I to judge, or we have to leave that in the hands of God. No, we're not the ones who judge, but God has already judged. Jesus Christ is the one who said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except by me.
How can it be more clear than that?
It couldn't be. And what is a real shame, Dr. Dobson, is it's not just a few Christian ministers who are wavering on this. As I point out in the book, recent polls have demonstrated that 58% of evangelical Christians believe now that there's more than one way to heaven. And I believe it's time for us to reclaim this most foundational doctrine of the Christian faith, which is why I wrote this book, to help believers understand why there's no other way to God, but also to equip them to share this truth in a compassionate, yes, but a compelling way to not only their children, but to their grandchildren, to anyone who asks, how can a person have a right relationship with God?
Yeah, people will look you in the eye, and even though they've gone to church all their lives, some of them, and tell them, you know, who are we to choose which way you have to think about this subject? If you're Muslim, who can say Muslims are not going to go to heaven if they believe what the Muslims believe?
And you know, deep down, Dr. Dobson, the reason we're hesitant to say that and Christians are hesitant to say that there's only one way is because they think it's intolerant or it's hateful to insist there's only one way to heaven. Let me tell this quick story. What really was the impetus behind this book? It happened a few years ago. I was sitting on a plane going from Dallas to Seattle on a book tour, and usually when a guy is sitting next to me, you engage in a little chit-chat, and if I'm busy and don't feel like talking, he'll ask me, what do I do? And I say, Southern Baptist pastor. That shuts down the conversation immediately. But I sensed, Dr. Dobson, I needed to talk to this guy. So he said, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a writer, which is true. And he said, well, what kind of books do you write? And I said, Christian books. And he said, well, I used to be a Christian until I gave it up. Well, that started the conversation. Mm-hmm. I said, what made you give up Christianity? He said, I came to the place where I could not accept a belief system that said there's only one way to heaven. I could not believe in a God who is that intolerant and hateful to condemn people to an eternity in hell because they didn't accept that one way. I said, well, that's legitimate. Now, let me ask you a question. Suppose this plane were to crash right now. The flight attendant gave me a dirty look, so I lowered my preacher voice to a conversation. I said more quietly, suppose this plane were to crash, the cabin were to fill up with smoke, the flight attendant started waving a flashlight saying, follow me, there's one way out of this burning airplane. Would you call her intolerant because she said there's only one way? Would you say she was hateful because she insisted you follow her out of the burning craft? The only reason she would say that would be if indeed there were only one way out of the burning aircraft. And in the same way, we are all on a planet that is destined for destruction. We are all headed for an eternity of separation from God. But God, because He loves us, says, follow me, there is one way to heaven, and it is through my Son, Jesus Christ. Dr. Dobson, this truth that there is one way to heaven was not designed to keep people out of heaven. It was to invite people in heaven. And that's what this book, Not All Roads Leads to Heaven, is about.
And thank God you have dealt with it. You know, when I was younger, I was raised in a parsonage. And I know what I believe, and I don't waver on that and never have, because my parents and the church did a good job in helping me understand. But I will admit to you that in my early days, my college years and shortly after, I used to worry about the people who don't have a chance. I used to worry about over a billion Chinese.
Yes.
You know, there are a lot of Christians there, but there are a lot of people there who have never heard the name of Christ. In France today, I'm told that there's a whole generation of young people growing up who have never heard the name of Christ. You just go around the world in India and elsewhere. The Lord says, and of course in Romans 1, it says all have been given an opportunity. And I wonder how, if they've never heard of Christ. I've now settled that in my mind, but I would like you to help others settle it.
Well, it's the number one objection to this whole idea, or it's not just an idea, it's Christ's teaching that there's only one way to heaven. Well, what about those who have never heard about Jesus? And by the way, you don't have to go to China and France to find that.
Right,
as our,
here.
As our culture becomes more secular, more and more people have never heard of Jesus. I live in the heart of the Bible Belt, Dallas, Texas. One of my adult daughters told me about a coworker to whom she was witnessing. This coworker, a young adult woman in Dallas, Texas, had never heard of Jesus Christ or Adam or Eve, never heard any of it before, living right in Dallas, Texas. So the question is, how could God send people to hell for rejecting a Jesus they've never heard of? And I answer that question in my book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. Look, here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches, as you referenced Romans 1, that the whole world has received a knowledge of God by simply looking at the creation. Anybody can look at creation, Romans 1 says, and know there is a God. And so they are without excuse. Now, is that enough to save a person to say, I believe there's a God in heaven? As my friend, Dr. Charles Ryrie says, that kind of revelation is not enough to save a person, but it is enough, if rejected, to condemn a person.
Mm-hmm.
And when people look at that revelation, the Bible says a fool, a moron, has said in his heart, there is no God. When a person rejects that revelation God sends them, they are without excuse. But on the other hand, Dr. Dobson, when somebody, that 12-year-old Syrian girl who's never heard the name of Jesus, but says, you know, I know there's somebody greater than I didn't make all of this, and I'd like to know who that is. I believe the Bible teaches God will send that girl or anyone the further revelation they need of Jesus Christ to be saved. You say, oh, now, Pastor, do you really believe that God is somehow going to get that message to that person in deepest, darkest Africa or that Syrian girl? You believe that? I certainly do. I mean, just look in the scripture at the Ethiopian eunuch. There he was riding in the chariot, wanting to know God, and God miraculously sent Philip there to ride in the chariot with him and preach to him Jesus. Or think about Cornelius. Acts 10 says Cornelius was a devout man who worshiped the God of Israel. He prayed regularly and he gave to the poor. Now, you know, by most people's standard today, that would be enough to go to heaven, to worship the one God and pray to him and give money to the poor. God said that's not enough. He miraculously sent Peter there to preach to him the gospel of Jesus Christ so he could be saved. And what I say, Dr. Dobson, is anyone who wants to know God will be given the revelation they need to know about God so that all are without excuse.
Well, that's very comforting. You are one of few ministers today, I think, who will talk about hell. I don't know by what authority they hopscotch over the things that Jesus said about that. Once again, it seems so unthinkable that we just can't believe that a loving God could allow anybody to go there. And of course, he doesn't send anybody there. It's a choice, and it is the failure to accept the solution, the answer, the remedy.
That's right. And hell is a reality. It's a truth that Jesus actually spoke more about hell in the New Testament than he did about heaven. But he did so not because he hates people, but because he loves us and wants to warn us about this reality. You know, I hear people say, well, I just don't believe in hell. As in, believing in something determines whether it's true or not. The law of gravity is true whether you believe it or not. And so is the reality of hell. And Jesus talked about it often. And interestingly, in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said more people will end up in hell ultimately than will be in heaven. Jesus said the way is narrow that leads to eternal life, and few are those who find it. But the way is broad that leads to destruction, and most people are on that broad road. You know, one of the objections I deal with, and not all roads lead to heaven, is the objection, well, wait a minute. If Jesus is the only way to be saved, that means billions and billions and billions of people are going to spend eternity in hell. Just look at the world today. Of the 7 billion people on this planet, only 25% are even claiming to be Christian and somehow, and usually by nationality. I mean, if that is true, how could so many people be wrong? And yet the fact that only a relatively small amount of the world's population will be in heaven confirms exactly what Jesus said is the truth.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to a man a while back about his theological understanding, and I detected that he didn't understand the propitiation for sin, for the atonement that occurred on the cross and what it was all about. And I asked him a question. I said, can you tell me the difference between Stephen's death? Of course, he was stoned to death and he was a martyr. And when he died, Jesus was in heaven and he looked up and saw Jesus stand when Stephen died. You talk about honoring. Can you imagine a Yes. human being actually realizing that Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, stood for Stephen when Yes. he came. So he was a good man, a great man. What is the difference in your theology for the death that Stephen experienced and the honor he was given
Right.
and Christ on the cross? Well, is there a difference between those two? And he fumbled it. He could yes. not answer.
Yes.
I wonder if our listeners can answer. You answer it.
Well, the Bible says that Jesus Christ alone is the propitiation, and that big word simply means he is the satisfaction for our sins. We've all sinned. Our sin demands that somebody pay for our sin. And neither we can spend eternity trying to pay for our sin in hell. The only problem is our sin debt is so large, an eternity in hell will not pay our sin debt for us. We can either try to pay our sin debt, or we can allow Jesus to pay it for us. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just his physical death. It was his spiritual separation from God. In some inexplicable way, he took the punishment that you and I deserve for our sin. He paid our sin debt in full, which is why in John 19:30 on the cross, he said, "It is finished." That word finished, tetelestai in Greek, is an accounting term that literally means paid in full. And Dr. Dobson, the biggest choice we ever make in life is this: who is going to pay for my sin? Do I try to pay for it myself for eternity in hell, or do I allow Jesus to pay it for me?
Now, so even though Stephen was a great man, a good man, he obviously had favor with God.
Yes.
And yet he couldn't save himself.
He could not save himself. He physically died, as we all do, as a result of our sin. Our physical death is the result of sin. But we are made spiritually alive through Christ. I'm so glad you brought up this word propitiation, satisfaction, because here's where the rubber meets the road. If there is another way to God other than faith in Jesus Christ, then Jesus' death was not necessary. It was a horrific mistake. I mean, why did the Son of God come in such a humiliating way to earth, give up all of his heavenly rights? Why did he experience torture and an excruciating death and spiritual separation from God? Why did he do all of that if all roads lead to heaven? If all religions are simply different paths up the same mountain of truth that lead to the same God, the only reason Jesus came and did what he did for us is there was no other way to heaven. There was no other way to be saved. And that is the single greatest argument, I believe, for what Jesus said is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except by me.
Boy, that's so strong. That is so beautiful. And we dare not reject so great a salvation.
That's right. And I'm really hoping that this book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven, will not only equip Christians in their own belief, but you know, Dr. Dobson, parents who are listening to this broadcast, their children or grandchildren are being assaulted by pluralism in secular universities, even in Christian schools. And they're probably asking the question as our world becomes increasingly secular, Mom or Dad, I mean, is it true that people who follow other religions are going to hell? That seems so hateful. Well, this book will give parents and grandparents the information they need to help ground their kids in the truth of God's Word.
Well, that's what I try to write about in my book, Legacy. The greatest anxiety that I would have for my family if they did not know Christ is that I would never see them again.
Yes.
And we believe that.
Yes.
But it isn't preached very often.
That's
I mean,
right.
That will get me on my knees quicker than anything else to realize that we live in a fallen world and there are influences on our kids, on those that we love. And we dare not be casual about this teaching that there is only one way. That's why I appreciate your book, because that we have an emphatic answer to the title, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven.
And we do in the book deal with questions. What about sincere followers of other religions? Or what about those who worship God and just call him another name? Or what about those who have never heard the gospel? Or here's a good one. If faith in Christ is the only way to be saved, what about infants and small children who are too young to trust in Christ? Is there an exception made for them? All of those things are answered in this book.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a wonderful book, and I hope it has a wide readership because there is so much confusion about it, and especially today. You grew up in the church, too. Hasn't there been a shift? Has there not been a change in orthodoxy in the way people see this?
Oh, there's a sea change. Again, when you think about 58%, not of just Christians everywhere, but of conservative evangelical Christians saying there's more than one way to God, that is an astounding shift that has occurred. And the problem is, instead of our influencing the world, we've allowed the world to influence and change the most basic belief of the church. And I hope this book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven, will stem that tide of heretical teaching among Christians and help people present the hope, the only hope of eternal life.
Our guest has been Dr. Robert Jeffress. He's the senior pastor of the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. He's written many books, and I'm kind of working my way through some of them by inviting this good man to be with us. And I know what it cost you to be here. You got up at 1 o'clock this morning to come and be here at Family Talk. I really appreciate you doing that. In fact, I spoke for you.
You
it
did.
Was on my birthday, as
That's
I recall.
That's right.
But thank you for coming, and I'd like to do another program with you because there's a lot of theology in this book, and there's more that I can learn from it. Will you allow us to continue?
I would love to do it. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start in a few minutes because you've got a plane to get.
We'll do it.
Okay.
You've been listening to another Best of the Best broadcast on Family Talk as Dr. Dobson talks with Dr. Robert Jeffress about his latest book, Not All Roads Lead to Heaven. This powerful book answers the tough questions that confront the exclusive claims of Christianity, and it would be a great tool to help you strengthen your faith or to witness boldly and equip the next generation of Christians. We'll have a link to the book and to Dr. Jeffress's ministry on our website at drjamesdobson.org. And please take a moment while you're online to consider how you can bless the ministry of Family Talk. Your financial gift of any amount allows us to create resources to help you authentically live your faith in an increasingly secular culture. And right now, your gift will be matched dollar for dollar to strengthen and equip twice as many Christians. Call us at 877-732-6825 or go online to drjamesdobson.org and give a gift with eternal impact. And thank you so much for your financial support and also for your prayers as well. I'm Roger Marsh. Thank you so much for spending part of your day with us. Be sure to come back next time for the second half of this thought-provoking discussion right here on Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, Dr. Tim Clinton for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. Hey, right now, grab your cell phone, go to your app store, and click on the Dr. James Dobson Family Talk app. Download it right now, and you can start listening anywhere at any time. 24/7, 365.